We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
3 minutes ago, I bumped into David Ortiz and followed up on what he said yesterday.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it?
Keep in mind, for David Ortiz, this is very personal. He's great friends with Alex Cora, and he's seen the life trajectory of a great friend completely changed by all this.
So you look like a snitch.
The NFL and the NFL Players Association are on the verge of a transformational collective bargaining agreement.
It gives, you know, two teams an extra chance, an extra crack at the Super Bowl and proving your legacy.
And of course it would mean more money, because that's at the root of all this.
Everybody is really bold, but man, when it comes to rubber meet the road, there are a lot of guys who step back and are sheepish. Unless you're all in, for real all in, and we're not playing games, this deal is a good deal.
Right now.
Last question.
Is there anything better than cocaine and hookers?
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm back here in OMF at JetBlue Park. We'll do the game tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I will say this about Chris Sale, and we've had him on quite a bit over the last few years since he came to the Boston Red Sox. He's not one of those guys that gets hung up on cliches or sits there and tries to work around the subject matter or whatever. He's so refreshing because he's frank, he's honest, and he doesn't give a rat's ass what people think about him, one way or the other.
That's why I said earlier, you know, you sit and interview him, you watch him, you just talk to him here and there. That's a tough guy to bet against.
Yeah.
And I know what the last 2-3 years have looked like.
Yeah, bad.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So And deep down, I take a step back and say, I think I might know how it might end, you know, this year. It'd be something. But with that said, just listening to him, it's like whether you root for him.
Yeah.
Well, first off, you know how good he is when he's healthy. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he put together a Chris Sale year, you know, like an all-star appearance, dominating the first 3 or 4 months, and you sort of sit there and say, okay, let's see how it goes. Right? Let's see where this goes. I just hope he's healthy enough that we can see him kind of, you know, feel good about himself on the mound.
Yeah, and official man crush. I think we can all say that if we had to pick one, that would be the guy. Just you can't say enough about the way he conducts himself and the way he answers questions. Everyone can admire it. Now, I would like – he said he's working out a lot. He said he spent a lot of time here. He's here every 4. I would like to see the weights. You know, I have these weights in my house for my kids, and they're color-coded. Like, there's green is like 2.5 pounds. The blue is like 4 pounds.
What are you saying?
Every now and then it was 5 pounds. I know he was sick. I get it. You know, he had walking pneumonia.
He dropped 50
but
pounds.
But it does not look like he's worked out a second.
He's really thin.
I would like to know what type of workout he is
he's
doing.
He's really thin. I swear to God, if he weren't as tall as he is, we would say he's a marathon runner.
Come on. Like, I'm kidding.
Shoulder.
I kid a lot of the time.
Shoulder.
But does it look like he works out at all?
No,
Does he do a body squat? No, he's never done a body squat.
Usually, you know, a lot of pitchers, you say legs and ass.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, zero.
He doesn't have either one.
Like Clements.
But it's shoulder stuff, you know, the shoulder exercise. With those weights you're talking about, 3, 4, 5 pounds shoulder exercise.
Is it all torque with him?
It's ridiculous. It's everything. Yeah, it's everything. The whip, everything.
Yeah, because there's no power coming. I mean, I'm sure there's some power, but if you actually to put like a blue light on that guy and like try to figure out where the highlighted areas are, it would not be his ass or his quads.
He is so thin. The first time I saw him, someone asked me like, "How's he look? Did he look like he lost weight?" And I just watched him.
How do
like,
you know the difference?
Every year in spring training, I think he lost weight because I can't get over how small.
There's a bunch of stuff that he said that's interesting, but I want to bring up something that's getting zero coverage that nobody is mentioning at all. Okay, nobody is mentioning that. And that is the loss of Rick Porcello.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
People are not, they're looking at Mookie Betts. I understand it. People are debating when it comes to David Price. Well, the attitude will be gone here, though the players here have a much different attitude about David Price than we did. And Lou brought that up, and he talked about that. But the Porcello one, and you heard what he just said about Rick Porcello. The amazing thing is, it's not only the innings pitched. The innings pitched. He eats innings, if you want, okay? Yep. And he doesn't always have the greatest outings, but he's always there for you. He's there every fifth day. And the other thing is, these guys rave about his leadership ability, his leadership qualities. That's going to be missing in this team. Well, nobody's talking about the loss of
Rick. I would also say,
other than Bradford. I take it back. Bradford is talking about his
as much as we don't like him, I mean, you can say the same thing about David Price. They had a really good
different though.
No, but they were all alpha dogs, all of them in their own way. You heard Sale. I mean, listen, he's older than Porcello, and he looked up to him. He deferred to him. And Price, you can say all you want about him. He was respected. It was the things that nobody saw. That's going to be missed too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many aspects of this team.
There's a lot of leadership that left this team. Holt. In there, you could throw Mookie in there. Alex Cora in there. So, but you're right about Porcello. I know the guy had a 5.52 ERA last year. But if you look, it's 33 starts,
every
32
year.
Starts.
It's dependable.
He got $10 million. I wonder if they knew they were going to move on, you know what I mean, from Mookie and were able to move on from David Price and be where they are financially now with a little more flexibility, that they wouldn't spend the extra $3.5 million to get Porcello here as opposed to Martin Perez. You know, because there is, you can talk about all the money, you can say he's got a 5.52 ERA, people, oh, he sucks, he's this, he's that. There is a dollar figure for 33 starts because this team desperately needs that. 33 starts, 32 starts from somebody.
They're not gonna,
if it's 180, the biggest question mark I have is innings. I don't know where they come from. If you start to even out, well, maybe Erod takes a little step back. Maybe Sale actually gives you a lot more. Okay, what can Evaldi do? What can Perez do? It's just like not all of them aren't going to have great years. Someone there is going to struggle and not give you many innings. Where else does it come from?
See, the pitching scares the hell out of me. And when you look at the number of innings, you need at least one guy, if not two, to hit that 200-inning mark. If you don't, you're just, first of all, I'm not sure they're deep enough. Where's their sixth, seventh, and eighth starter? And that bullpen, which is still questionable, is going to take a beating because they're going to have to spend so much time out there in the fourth and the fifth and the sixth innings. That's what worries me. You really have to look at Sale. Sale must pitch 200-plus innings, guys. And is that fair to ask him to do that based on the fact that we've seen his body break down? How he's got a track record in which you talked about it. At his best, he's terrific in the first half of the season. And what happens in August and September? He's probably overthrown the ball, and it starts wearing on him in August and September.
I don't know. There's
and
just,
you need him in August and September down with this team.
It has not. I think it has. Listen. There's a lot of they're not going to make the playoffs. It's a rebuilding year. They're not going to be the same. You just look at the names. Forget about the accomplishments. Forget about the skill set. I think one of the most important things is just how, we didn't know it, but how well run and organized and what a great pecking order they had inside their locker room. From a guy like Brock Holt, who some people may say it's insignificant, it's not really a big deal. No, it did make a big deal because you just had, so much balance. Right, you just had a lot of balance and a lot of respect, and everybody knew what was expected of them. Right, and you're not going to have that this year. I mean, you're still going to have strong personalities. Sale is a strong personality. Bogarts has become a strong personality. JD Martinez is—I don't know how strong his personality, how vocal he is—but he's looked up to as a leader. So, I mean, how is that going to work?
I just worry about this when you look at the pitching, and we talk about Nathan Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi is going to have one of those years like the year he had with the Yankees, Lou.
Yeah.
He's going to have a great year. Right. He's had one great year, and what does he do? He breaks down.
So what you're saying is everything has to be perfect.
Perfect.
Everything has to go well.
Perfect.
Sale, Eovaldi, Devers can't take a step back. J.D. Martinez is going to have to ball out. Who's the guy out there? The guy was playing shortstop that had all the errors. Jeter Downs. I mean,
you're not going to see him.
No, I'm just saying, everything is going to have to go right. Everything. You're going to have a lot of luck, too.
The problem I was just looking at, because they do have that new 26-man roster rule.
Right.
But you can only have 13 pitchers. Right? So basically what it does is it adds another bench player. Because for the most part, the Red Sox and a lot of teams had eight guys in that bullpen. It used to be seven, and then you would have, three or four guys on the bench. A lot of teams started doing what the Red Sox are doing, already had eight out there. So they already last year had 13 guys and a limited bench, right? Man, they don't have many guys on the bench to pinch hit or pinch run, but they went with the extra reliever. So it's not like the 26-man roster now you have an extra player. You can't add it. You can't have 14. You can only have 13. So it's not like you got the benefit of the extra pitcher out there to help you with, like you're pointing out, an opener. Or this guy going five or six, or this guy going down, having to call up a kid up from AAA and give you four strong, innings, and that's it, and then go to the bullpen again. It's a lot of wear and tear. And I actually feel better about the bullpen this year than I have in the past.
Why?
Well, listen, I think there'll be some guys taking a step back. They always do. Other guys take a step forward. But last year, I don't know, we'll see if Brazier can give you anything. I mean, I started looking at, Workman and what he did last year. I don't think he'll be that good. I still think Barnes can get the job done. You see the kid Taylor and Darwinson. Can Brazier do anything for you? And then all of a sudden now, you start talking about that sixth, seventh, eighth man in your bullpen and where they maybe belong, guys like Hembree, or Walden. I just think last year, you didn't know who they were. By the end of the year, they're throwing the ball well. I think in May and June, they really struggled and cost them a lot. But by the end of the year, you said, you bring these guys back, you'll feel a little bit better about him.
It's funny, Darwinson becomes an important factor for them as a bullpen guy, but maybe long-term out as a starter, because they're going to need starters here. Again, Erod was terrific last year. He was 19-6, but you won 84 games. You no longer have Mookie Betts. You no longer have David Price, who at times was your best pitcher last year.
Yeah.
So you need another 19-6 season out of Erod? That's a lot to ask.
Yeah, it is. And they have a lot of good, young, exciting arms in the system. Like there's couple kids like Tanner Houck and Brian Mata. I think we'll see Mata tomorrow. But it's, are they ready for that? Are they ready? These are the types of guys that if you said, I need you right now in the big leagues, they'd say, okay, they put them in the bullpen. And then hopefully eventually become starters. Or you'll send them down to AAA. And you try to develop them as starters again and try to add to that depth. They're good young arms. The kid Mata, you'll see tomorrow, is 20 years old. Kid's electric. He's got four pitches, but he's 20. And he's been kind of rushed through the system a little bit. But is he ready to start? No, but he could be like Darwinson at some point for your bullpen. But it still comes down to where the starters come from. Where are those guys? Tanner Houck, good arm, like him. But is he ready to be a starter? Kind of needs a changeup.
Well, here's the other thing is that guys are going to get hurt during the course of the year. They're going to go on the I apologize. Did I call it?
Yeah,
don't
be careful.
Disabled list?
I called.
You're lucky. We're up here in the booth.
Oh my God!
No one's
Major League Baseball is the dumped. What is it called? The injured list.
Injured list now. IL.
But you're going to lose guys for maybe three, four starts. You're going to lose guys during that period of time. Where do they find those guys to go?
They also made one slight change too that hurts the teams that like Tampa, who do this opener, and Baltimore used to shuffle guys up and down from AAA and everything else, or put a guy on a DL because it used to be 10, it's now back to 15.
Right,
and so they made another rule you can't call a pitcher back up in certain days, so they're making it harder to kind of finagle the roster in a way where, all right, I'll have this guy open for me for a couple of days, then I'll put him on the DL, or I'll send him down, but I can bring him back up in 10 days, right, which is just another couple of starts. But they made it a little bit harder for you to do that.
Well, I think the other rule that's going to be interesting to watch with teams, and if your bullpen is good and you get guys out there that can throw to both righties and lefties, you're going to be fine.
You need it.
If you don't, you're in serious trouble because your guy's going to have to go out there for three batters now. And a lot of times, it was lefty on lefty crime. You'd have a lefty that just gets lefties out, or a righty just gets righties out. These guys have had a lot of different arms, but enough quality arms? Somebody's going to have to do that now for them.
Yeah.
They're going to need that. And I think you're going to see that the teams that have good bullpens, they're gonna feast off of that rule, and other teams, you're gonna have ugly innings. Ugly innings.
Which is why I thought it was interesting. They kind of added a lot of lefties this offseason, like reliever lefties, you know, different guys. You know, the lefties, they have Taylor and Darwin, so they're not concerned with righties. You know what I mean? They can get those guys out too, but they brought a lot of lefties in. And yeah, this new rule, you know, two outs, you can bring the guy out and get the last out of an inning.
Right.
And he's done. He doesn't need to face three. So you need to end the inning or face three guys. But you bring a lefty in to get a lefty out, and, you know, the guy.
Righty's on deck.
And he walks him. You know, or he hits a base hit. Now you got two righties, and you're like, oh, boy. Yeah, you know, you go from getting out of that inning to maybe having to leave them in and give up three.
Tell you what, there are going to be a lot of managers that are going to look really stupid in this game this year.
A little more strategy in the American League game. It's good. It's good.
Well, the National League hopefully will adopt the designated hitter. I mean, they're even talking about it right now because it's the stupid thing about interleague play right now. It makes no sense to me.
We double switch seemingly really all night long.
You can't have rules in one league and totally different rules in another league. I mean, it's like the AFC and the NFC.
Know,
if we had totally different rules,
I don't
how
get
would
it.
You do that?
I mean,
it's
you
stupid.
Look at it in any sport. It's really weird. It's just that it's gone on for so long. It's not like the AFL and the NFL. It's not like, hey, we're going to merge and, okay, you keep your rules. It's been going on forever.
It'll be like XFL and the NFL, and the XFL keeps their rules. And when you play on their home field, you got to adopt their rules.
And, you know, maybe introducing the DH to the NL might play a big role in your designated hitter, who can opt out at the end of this year for $19.5 million, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they got a DH. He might be gone.
He's got a lot of teams now that suddenly might be interested.
I think this is the last year for JD Martinez here in
Boston. Mark it down.
Yeah. David Ortiz.
You can mark it down.
David Ortiz is taking an awful lot of heat. He was talkative here yesterday, and it's amazing. He seems to have doubled down. He's not backing off. Have you noticed that? He is doubling down. So he started by talking about how angry he is at Mike Fiers.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch.
I love that. You look like a snitch.
Can I just say something? Like we can break this down in a second. This just cracks me up. So I see, Martinez here. You see Poppy here. You see all these ex-players.
Dwight
here.
Evans is here.
You see all these players here, and like they're coaching up and they're helping out, and you know, and I just think it's funny. Like they're all in full uniform. It's like they're still playing. Like if I went out and helped the Patriots, and they said, "Hey, can you help the Titans?" and I showed up in pads, like that's the equivalent. Like, they'd be like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "You said you wanted me to help. Well, what are you doing in
coaches
pads?"
Coaches are in uni. That's just the baseball. It's just the way it is.
I know. I get it. It just makes me laugh. Here is an ex-player. Hey, come on back. It doesn't matter how old you are either. You're going to come back. We're going to put you in a uniform.
We're going to put you
send you out there.
We're going to put you in a Wally suit.
Oh, you're official. You're official now. Okay.
Well, the greatest. Well, the dumbest is the manager. You know, dressing the manager up in a uniform. And the manager's not going to go.
I just want to see Brad Stevens in a Celtics uniform. High tops,
vintage
socks. And, hey, I want the real shiny uniforms.
What would Bill wear then? Just like what? Shells?
Kicker. Single tee, single bar on for the face mask, and you have to wear your helmet too.
It is pretty stupid.
It just
you
got to
admit
up.
It. He's right.
It just always cracks me up.
It is stupid that baseball has these antiquated.
To me,
here's Lou's helmet.
It's always been like that. You know, I would never. You know, the only time you don't see that, I think the first time you do see that probably is in high school, right? You don't see that in Little League. I don't show up in my uni.
Although
I did in the summer league, you're supposed to. You're supposed to do it in next tournaments. Freaking Billy Ripken, that bastard. Get your cash. Anyways, but like, you know, in high school when your coach dresses up, in uni, you're like, that's kind of funny.
We call
but after that,
down
it's just the norm. I
college.
Think that's normal.
No, I know. It just always cracks me up. I see, you know, a big Poppy walking around, and he's got his uniform. I was like, wow, I guess he playing today?
Petey's on the mound.
Is Petey
going to throw?
What's Tech going to do?
It was really bad when the guys when they gain about 75 pounds, and they were out there working.
They look like Chris Christie.
Right.
Yeah, what, the hamburger.
What size pants?
Like Chris Christie.
Well, I got you down for 32s. Yeah, not no more.
Yeah, that was last year, homie. That was last year.
But Ortiz is taking an awful lot of heat. And notice the other thing he's doing. He's protecting Rob Manfred in this.
He is protecting Rob Manfred.
The commissioner has been getting so much heat about this, like he was him who made that mistake. And to be honest with you, I don't agree with him getting all the heat. And it's because reality is not one player has come through and be like, hey, it was me who started this up. You know what I'm saying? It was everybody's passing the ball like when you're playing basketball. All the commissioner can do is just have a team investigating what's going on, we all know that he know how to do. The commissioner, Manfred, has been legit since day one. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's fair for everyone pitching him, question and blame him on things. We all know that he got the power to suspend people or make decisions or this and that, blah, blah, blah. But it's only into certain point. After that, he had no control of, you know, whatever happened in the investigation.
See, I think it's stupid that he's defending Mike.
You know
Fires.
Why, though?
I do. Jess Mendoza may be the only other one out there in baseball
Pedro.
Who's actually doing it. Pedro did too.
Well, here's no, Pedro like went after snakes. Fires too.
Did
well,
he
that's Winter Weekend. Same so, thing. Similar.
But with and he's protecting the commissioner here. But let's kind of remember what's going on in David Ortiz's life.
People
you can
need
say
to
he's
chillax.
Being selfish. He's thinking of his own interest. But the commissioner, the day he retired, flew up to Boston and basically gave him a pardon.
Yeah.
Right? It was like the president giving him a pardon.
We don't even know if it was anything illegal he was on that list for in 03. And I think it's unfair to judge him. I mean, he totally just cleared him of it.
And he cleared his path to Cooperstown by doing that.
Okay.
Right? Commissioner
well, we'll
did.
See.
And the flip side of that, the other side of that is, you know, he loves the Boston Red Sox. He's looking what's going on with Alex Cora and the whole works. And let's remember, it was the Boston Red Sox who, in his most dire moment down there in the Dominican Republic, John Henry sent the plane down, the doctors down, got him back up here. So I think I kind of get what Ortiz is going through.
Yeah, but he says he doesn't like the fact that Manfred's getting all this heat. Okay, why is he getting the heat? Why are people critical of Manfred?
Because he screwed this whole thing
okay,
up.
So...
But no, listen, David's wrong. Number one.
He's totally
wrong.
I know he is. So it's one, so basic.
Yeah.
You think everybody is just out of their mind and they're being unreasonable?
No.
Why is he getting so much heat? You're going to let me give you a couple examples. Let's start with the most obvious one. The players weren't punished. They go another one, maybe a little bit lower, depending on who you are. A hunk of metal, a chunk of metal, a piece of metal.
Yeah, but this is his guy. Manfred bailed him out. The 0-3 testing is something that people constantly
he's off
brought
Manfred.
Up. You're going to have all these guys come to the Hall of Fame.
He didn't do this. He's fixing it.
And the best players to ever play the game, Bonds and Clemens, they're all going to be hit with that steroid use, okay? What the commissioner did is he bailed him out in this situation.
Well,
so that's what
maybe
he's doing. He's covering up for him.
And Clemens.
You
maybe
do
they
that.
Should start kissing his ass.
Do you ever cover up
clemency.
For friends sometimes? You cover up for friends.
Never. No, you made your bed. Now sleep in it.
Oh, God, then I'm screwed. I'm
definitely screwed.
Listen,
don't call me late at night.
I won't.
he's wrong about Fires. I mean, Fires is not looked at as a snitch. He's
so
looked
you
at
look like
as
a snitch.
Hero. In the game of baseball. He is. He brought it to light. Everybody's happier that they brought it to light. So J.D. Martinez, he's glad the commissioner gave him immunity to the players. Not because he doesn't want to see him punished, but because that's the only way the truth would have come out. You know, and this is... He wasn't a guy... Like, Fires wasn't a guy that's like, hey, yeah, did you hear about the fight we had in our team? Yeah, David and got in a fight with Manny. You know, that's telling the media. Yeah. That's a snitch. That's like, dude, that stuff's in the locker room. You let that stuff go. What he did, it's the biggest scandal, you know, in the game. As far as Manfred goes, you know, to me, I got a problem with the whole investigation. The fact that he spent all this time and three or four stories come out right afterwards of stuff that maybe he withheld. You know, talking about Lou now and how the blame he puts on him, whether he knew or not, a piece of metal, just how he's handled everything. And more importantly, I don't know if you guys heard Jonathan Lucroy yesterday, who signed with the Red Sox, is probably the only player because he wasn't in the organization at all. Gave his opinion on all of this, but he talked about why it was important that Fires did what he did. As Ortiz said, you know, Manfred's trying to clean this game up. He's just doing his job. Well, he hasn't been doing his job, and that is the biggest issue. This is what Lucroy had to say.
Like I said, it all made sense whenever I found out, whenever we found out how they were doing it, it all made sense. And then it was like, what are you going to do? I was with Oakland then, and we had let MLB know, and they had just called and said something. They kind of just said something to them. They didn't go through the whole investigation. It wasn't until fires came out publicly that they went and looked at it really hard.
The Oakland A's communicated to Major League Baseball and told them what they thought was going on. Rob Manfred put, you know, MLB officials in the, you know, during the 2018 playoffs in the video rooms because he knew what was going on. He knew what was going on, and it did nothing about it. Only because fires came out publicly, and he had to. He forced him to. So you can't tell me he's doing his job. He's cleaning up the game when he knew about it for years and did nothing. So that's why you're critical of a guy like Rob Manfred.
So when he sends out the memo back in, was it September, October 17. Of 2017, and then he starts hearing, because they have security like NFL, they're going around the league, players are talking. We're hearing now all these players saying, oh, I knew what was going on, they were all doing it, this one was doing it. When you hear that and you're the commissioner, you don't do anything about it. You wait until a player actually blows the whistle on all of this? How stupid is that? How bad does it make him look? I don't know how anybody can defend Rob Manfred other than David Ortiz, because he did a big, huge favor.
But isn't it also, like, not to play, you know, protect him, but there is, you know, something to say for, like, hardcore evidence. You may have an assumption or an idea. You may have, you know, people making accusations. But until you have an informant. I'm just saying, until you have an informant, I do think it really forces, okay, now I can prosecute on this one. I just think it kind of, that's the lead you wanted. That gives you an excuse to dig deeper. Not saying that he should have done it. That he shouldn't have done it earlier, because I think he should have. But I can easily understand, well, fine, I have all these players, and they're all bitching and complaining.
What about the A's? I mean, if the A's think they're doing something to the point where they call the league on it, he says, Lucroy says, he just called the Astros and said, hey, what are you guys doing? Nothing? Okay, thanks. Going to the A's and saying, okay, let me ask you, why do you think this is going? What makes you think this is going on? Would you have proof? What can you tell me?
Now, has anyone heard? Now, that's a player. Lucroy is a player. Okay, has anyone talked to inside the Oakland Athletics executive office to find out if he did reach out to them?
No, but we have,
for all we know, he could have.
But we have emails.
And they said nothing.
We have emails that were stolen that now kind of put the commissioner back in a different light early on. I think Major League Baseball made a mistake in the way they handled steroids. Yeah, They ignored it, and then they blew the whole thing up and made them look like total fools. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, and then they did the exact same thing with this case. He could have easily done what Lou said. Go to the Oakland A's. Go to other teams. Call these owners and say, guys, enough is enough. This is going to be a major scandal if we continue to do this. You need to stop it right now. You need to find a way for the commissioner to prevent it from getting out. What he did was he just hit it under the rug and he said nothing. He did nothing to try to stop it. That's exactly what he did with steroids. They knew what was going on, but it was helping the game in the late 1990s because you were getting guys hitting 70 home runs. People were turned on to baseball. So he made the exact same mistake in this thing, and I'm telling you, this is a real black eye for baseball. They're going to have trouble this season trying to get around
this. So when Ortiz sits there and says, lay off of him, leave him alone, it's totally like, leave my butt. Yeah, I almost saw it.
That's all he's doing.
It's obvious, too.
Now maybe I'm being a little protective. We like David Ortiz. I'll take the guilt. But deep down inside, I find it really hard to believe that David Ortiz, who's a very bright guy, is not sitting there looking and saying, oh, my God, Manfred really did screw this thing up. Yeah. You know, but Manfred bailed his ass out. There were people that were talking about Ortiz whether he was a steroid guy.
Yeah, and now it's Fires' fault, right? It's his fault. You know, Manfred wouldn't have had all these issues. Fires would have kept his mouth shut.
Or Bradford.
Both of them. They're both like a snitcher.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays.
Snitch.
It's funny because you hear Sale talking about hitting guys, right? Yeah. Injustice. And, you know, you hit a guy, break a guy's wrist, you could ruin his career or whatever. You could hit him in the head, even worse. And then the trickle-down effect. You know, if I get thrown out of the game, and then he's so right about, like, a bullpen guy coming and giving you four innings. Well, if a bullpen guy usually comes in and gives you four innings, usually that guy probably gets shipped out back down to Pawtucket because he's useless for the next 3 or 4 days, and they might need some help in the bullpen at the time, a fresh arm. So him drilling a guy in the third, getting tossed, might cost somebody else his job. But, you know, all these concerns about hitting hitters, it's like, they didn't have those concerns 30 years ago? You know, when Nolan Ryan's telling you put 98 in his back, like he's not sitting there saying, I could hit you in the kneecap, blow your kneecap up. I could hit you in the elbow, in the wrist, in the head. You know, but it wasn't an issue back then. I don't know. Are we becoming more sensitive? Are we becoming more caring?
Yes. Both.
Wussy.
Right? Am I wrong? Yeah, because everybody, they're all 100% correct. I got it. Listen, I got hit in the head that pretty much ended my career. I hate when I see pitchers pitching up on the head area. But 30 years ago, what, they didn't care? They didn't care about the consequences?
Yeah.
They would just drill you left and right.
Yeah. Well, it was different than it is today. And everything is on TV, and we see all the video. I thought the other interesting point he brought up is it's going to change the way he pitches or you pitch against the Houston Astros. Because let's say he's just trying to keep a guy off the plate. He's just trying to widen the strike zone for him. And he hits the guy on the thigh or something like that. Is that going to be scrutinized down by the commissioner?
The problem is like, you know, now you're putting it on the umpires, which, honestly, they're not ready for. We've seen it before.
Where the robots.
Next thing you know, it's the first inning. There's nothing going on or something, and somebody gets hit. The umpire's, like, dishing out warnings, and the manager's like, what are you talking about? That wasn't intentional. It was a changeup or a curveball. And, you know, the umpires are throwing out a guy with no feel of the game whatsoever. And now the Astros, you tell me the home plate umpire's got the game tonight behind the dish, opening night against the Astros. He's good. I mean, do they issue warnings before the game starts? Like, he's going to have his head in a swivel. Anything close, he's like, whoa. I'm trying to look for the reaction of the pitcher. I'm hearing the bench. Are they yelling? Okay, calm down. And just make it a bigger scene than it is, because most of these guys can't handle it these days.
Didn't you think it was a stupid thing for the commissioner to jump out within days after the story and basically say that he's going to protect the Houston Astros hitters?
Well, Dusty Baker was saying the same thing.
I understand why Dusty Baker's saying it. He's the manager. He's trying to protect his team. But the commissioner's going to do it when every player in the league is sitting there calling them all sorts of names, those Houston Astros players, going to protect them? How do you do that?
I don't know.
You can't.
And here's the other thing. There's so many guys that are guilty of it on that team. So is it just whoever's up first? Who leads off for Altuve? Leads off for them? Springer? So how are you even going to – all right, so it's Springer's turn. Okay, we still got to get Altuve. Okay, who's got Bregman?
Bregman.
I got Bregman.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how many guys – you can't just get one of them and then, okay, yeah, okay, that was for all you guys. Hey, all you guys.
So what do we do? I don't know what the number is. We know what the Vegas number is, 83.5. So I don't know how many times Houston Astro hitters got hit last year, but – if you hit a Houston Astro batter, the commissioner's going to do something to you? Who's going to be the judge of that? Who's going to decide whether...
You're going to get a warning, definitely.
I don't think they're doing warnings.
Yeah.
That's not what the commissioner's talking about. He's saying he's going to protect
them. Let's just say I think they'll be on a hair trigger, right? I mean, what about these spring training games? What about those? If you're going to do it in the spring training.
See,
have some young guy do it that you don't care about.
If I was a pitcher, I wouldn't touch him in spring training. You know, first off, the Red Sox and Yankees got hit 49 times last year. They got hit 66 last year.
Houston did.
Yes. See, I remember the whole Don Zimmer game, Pedro and Clemens.
Yeah.
When that chaos happened and everything, we got back to playing baseball again, and you know, Pedro's throwing Zimmer to the ground. So Clemens is on the mound. For about three innings, every single hitter we had went up there waiting to get hit. Meanwhile, Clemens just got you out. You know, but it was in the back of every single hitter's minds. That could really affect the Houston Astros, because this is a very aggressive hitting team. The first pitch fastball, don't sleep. They'll take you out of the yard. Are they still going to be as aggressive on the first pitch? Like, so it's going to be in the back of their minds where you might be able to sneak the first pitch heater in there on these guys, because they're thinking about, is this guy about to drill me right now? So if I'm the pitchers, I wouldn't waste anything in spring training. I would keep in the back of their mind, and you never know what I'm going to do in regular season. And maybe because of that, I can get you out more.
I tell you what, the commissioner is making all of this even worse. Worse. He's throwing everything up in the air, and nobody has any idea. And we're going to get probably the investigative report on the Red Sox at the end of next week. And after that is done, the commissioner is going to have to set up rules, regulations, criteria. What is cheating? What isn't cheating? Because I don't think anybody
don't
in baseball knows it.
I don't think
they
I think they're asking for trouble if they do.
They
that.
Have to. The public is
then
totally
you're
gonna, confused.
Then you're going to have different people interpreting that definition. And this is no. Keep it the way it is. Just don't bang on a trash can.
Well, we've already eliminated the trash can, but he's got to do more than that. Because I'll guarantee you that people will misinterpret it. And you will have stuff pop up that are they using that video replay? They're using that video replay. And we heard it yesterday from J.D. Martinez. He is scared to death that they're going to take away the players' yeah. use during the course of a game of video replay. And I think that's going to happen because I think the commissioner, once again, will overreact. All right, 617-779-7937. That's our phone number right here on OMF. We're doing it live from Fort Myers, Florida.
Back to Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier.
Let's go, boys.
On EEI.
All right, back here in OMF. Let's take a couple phone calls, and then the Red Sox
just
have...
Just a couple.
...have passed up a couple of questions to ask Christian Fourier.
Wait, what?
Get him ready for... The Red Sox just came up here and... Gave us a few questions.
Like a test?
Ask you, like a test.
Oh, no.
Oh, they're scared to death.
It's a pop quiz for Fourier.
They're scared to death about this one.
I can't believe it only occurred to them just now.
I think when you tried to steal the Tessie costume today.
You think they got pissed off about that?
They weren't.
Are we going to ever tell that story?
Yeah.
I almost got outside. I almost got away with it.
You should tell a story.
I almost got away with it.
Yeah, they're, you know,
I didn't realize how short Tessie was.
They're a little stayed back. The Red Sox organization, they're a little bit different.
They don't really know what to make of me yet.
Yeah, they're good with Lou. They're a little shaky with me, and they're scared to death of you. That's what it comes down to. Rocco was in Saugus. Hey, Rocco.
Hey, guys. Louie, what's up? Is Mike Stanley still running the first base? Because I remember Mike Stanley, man. All right, guys. Listen,
good.
I called
Mike Stanley talked today, matter of fact.
He did.
I called yesterday about resetting, even if we keep Brady. And I think my man Christian right there, Spanish Frankenstein, disagreed with me. Or he agreed with me. One of the two, like, because, like, but what I was saying is my whole thing is, like, I think the league
Wait, hold on. Stop. Go back.
Wait.
Oh, my God. All right, go ahead.
Okay, now go.
Okay, like I said, I think the league has caught up with the Patriots. I mean, guys, we've been, like, 5 to 6 years of dominance in this league, and you know what I mean? Like, I think just like I said, the league has just caught up to the Patriots. I don't think we're going to be as dominant as we are, even if we keep Brady, man. Even if we surround it with so-called weapons. I mean, look at Edelman. He's like 33, 34. He's like a beat-up fighter, man. You know what I mean? He's just like, it's not going to be the same. It won't be the same. And for me, I would like to see, I called early this week and I said, I would like to see Brady move on. You know what I mean? To a better team. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, the ideal team is Tennessee. But I would like to see him go to the Dolphins, man. You know, 2 years.
Well, who's going to be the quarterback? Wait a minute. I don't care about the Dolphins. I don't know why he'd go to the Dolphins, but I don't care about where he's going. Who's taking his place here?
I don't care. I mean, I don't care. We're resetting. You know what I mean? It could be a rookie quarterback. It could be a journey quarterback. I don't really care who it is, to be honest with you. I mean, like.
Well, you said the league has caught up to them. Wait a minute. You said the league has caught up to them. So you want the Patriots to catch back up to the league again. I mean, you got to have a plan in all of this.
I
don't
think the league is really caught up to the Patriots.
Well, I'm using Rocco's line.
But you don't really think the league has caught up to the Patriots? You don't really think
how? If they have, it's cost them. It took them 20 years, but no.
Are
they still in the mix?
No, the Patriots may have taken a step back a little bit.
Yeah.
Things are getting a little bit older these days.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There you go. That's my point. But
okay. Got your point.
Spanish Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
My man Christian right there, Spanish Frankenstein.
I like Rocco.
He's got a
Paisan.
Steve is in Boston. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. Back to the ask. Instead of throwing at them, how about the first time into your stadium, their first at bat, you intentionally walk them. You go make them stand up first base, and the entire stadium screams it for 5 minutes.
I like that. Just boo at them. Just yell at them. And make them do up-downs at the same time.
Why do I got to walk them, though?
Hey, you know what? They should put their pants down by their ankles and put their thumb in their mouth in, like a Full Metal Jacket.
I thought he was doing the same thing. I've seen people do it on social media. They're calling them the Astros, adding an S into it. Have you seen that yet?
Oh, how witty. How creative. Astros.
That's a good one.
Make them elephant walk to first base.
What is that? What's an elephant walk?
Do you know what an elephant walk is?
I don't know.
It's something to do with, I think slow? It's something to do with your head up your ass somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Elephants are kind of slow. They don't do much.
You know one thing is interesting, because I did notice this, that somebody had said to me, because you look at this team, right? Obviously, guys like Altuve, Correa, Bregman, Brantley, Mariznick was fast. All these guys are fast, right? They didn't steal many bases. You know, they're talking about, like, you know, stealing third base. They didn't want to steal third base. They want to stay right where they were. You know what I mean? They didn't.
You think that was part of the philosophy?
They didn't. But then again, if they're stealing signs from all over the place, because someone's like, look at the stolen base numbers. These guys used to steal bags when he first came up. Now nobody steals bases anymore. Right. But if they're getting bangs from barrels with guys on first or second, what the hell's the difference?
Yeah. I tell you what. I mean, if you.
But if you're at first base, it's a one signal guy, right?
Yeah.
When you first heard about
it. So you figure that's easier to steal than multiple signs at second.
Right. Have other. After you've heard other managers and other players give their opinion, talk about how disappointed, almost like sticking their nose up in the air, how disgusted they are, but with what Cora has been doing, have you changed your opinion on how bad it is?
No, I know it was bad. It's really bad.
See, I was like, I didn't think, I had talked to so many other people, it was like, oh, everybody's doing it. I just
banging
thought
the
only,
barrel? No, that's
I
really
thought the
bad.
Only difference, still, that's fine. I mean, I'm realizing that it is worse than I actually originally thought it was. I just thought, listen, if you can't figure it out, it's your own damn fault that they just found a more efficient way of doing what everybody was doing anyways. But after Francona, after Renicky today, they're all like, no, man, I've been in the league this many years. I've been a third base coach. I never would have done that. It never even crossed my mind because I knew how bad it was. So to me, Cora is still beloved here. He's always going to be loved. People are always going to protect him. But his name has just been it's worse than I thought it was for him. And maybe even getting a job somewhere. I thought initially, okay, fine, he'll get a job easily, but I don't know how easy. A lot of time is going to have to go by before they bring his name back up into the mix as getting a job.
Oh, I think it's going to
be. And he's definitely not coming back here. If you thought he was coming back here, I think that is Dunsky.
By the way,
well, let's see what happens to this
kind
season.
Kind of got a definition what the elephant walk is.
What is it?
Do you have a picture of it?
Well, it's like one man like walking in front of each other. Well, you know, elephants walk and they use their
other's tails.
Their tails to hold the trunks.
Yeah.
Well, you hold.
Oh Lord. Seriously, I just got a visual of it now.
I think we were real slow picking up on that.
You didn't know what that was either, did you?
Didn't.
No idea what that was. I'd never heard of it. It's a hockey term.
It's old school, too.
It's a hockey term.
That's old school. Yeah.
Should have picked up
taking
on that.
The puck.
So tomorrow, we're gonna broadcast the game tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It's the Red Sox and the Rays. We've already looked at the list of players. Half of these guys are, you know.
Are you going to give me? Am I going to try and say their names?
No, we're going to give you the names of all these players. All right. We'll do that on our last call.
But so
the Red Sox are a little bit concerned with you. Now, they're giving you access to the dugout. You're going to have access to a lot of stuff. You're going to be able to go through this ballpark and get in areas that people don't normally go to.
I have an all-access badge.
I talked to Steve Lyons today. He's very jealous of you.
Psycho
says
he's
very jealous. They're
all
giving you access.
So what are we doing?
But they wanted me to ask a few questions of you because they're a little bit concerned.
Okay.
So here you go.
Wait, will this
from
make
the Red Sox brass.
Will this make a difference on whether or not I get to actually do the game?
No, I think you're in. I don't think they can back out.
So it doesn't matter.
Right now.
It's too late.
But they might arrest you in the third or fourth inning or have security take you out or something.
They're probably
like that.
Waiting on how they're going to spin
exactly.
this. Okay, all right.
So
come on.
Question number one, it comes from a...
it comes from a what?
What?
You know, you didn't practice this. You obviously didn't go over
this. Jay Henry.
Jay Henry. All right.
How many outs in an inning, Christian?
How many outs in an inning?
Oh, that's a tough one.
These are all trick questions.
Yeah. No,
how many outs? There are six outs in an inning.
Wow.
Very good. Very good. That's very impressive. Because you could have fallen for
I
the happening,
yes,
and you didn't
yes,
do that.
I didn't.
This one from a T. Warner. explain the infield fly rule.
Okay, infield fly rule. Okay, I got this one. All right, so if I'm playing second and Lou is playing shortstop, and the ball goes up in the air, I call it, he has to back up. That's what the infield.
That's not an infield.
I got it. Lou, back up. That's the rule.
So, and you say that's the rule. That's the infield fly rule.
So Lou, when this happens tomorrow, you need to jump right in and explain. That's an automatic out.
No, I'll leave that one up to him. Oh, infield fly rule in effect. God, yeah, what is that? Well, he just, as you saw, he said, I got it.
See, that's all based on interpretation. Right. In California, we had different rules of play.
What else we got?
All right, this one from an S. Kennedy.
Oh, okay.
Whoever that is. Okay. What do we sing in between innings in the eighth inning? And by the way, you will sing also.
We're not doing Sweet Caroline.
I'm telling you.
Because I would like to say this. I don't have a problem with Sweet Caroline. I actually love the song. That guy, on the other hand, has a major issue with this. I think there needs to be some
situation.
No. Okay, here's what it is. You need to sing the song. No, I think you should, in order to heal, I feel like this is a good opportunity for you to heal and to come to grips with reality.
Listen,
the song's not going anywhere, Lou.
It's spring training. I get it. But when the games count and you're up 4-1, you know, in the top of the eighth, and they put up like a 7 spot and you're down 8-4, things don't feel so good. Well, things aren't so good.
Song, see, I think we should do, I think you guys should give me challenges, okay? So, I bet that you can't get the entire Fenway Park crowd to do the wave. I bet I can.
Wait, have you seen
these
crowds?
They don't do that every single game.
They can't get up. I mean, if you saw the crowd today.
That's why it's a challenge.
Jesus.
It's a challenge.
You're going to kill them.
Okay. I mean, that's why it's a challenge.
We'll be waving them out of here.
Good God.
That's a good point. It'll be harder.
Yeah, that will be harder.
Okay,
all right.
It'll be harder. So I think I can do that. I think what I'll start is I'll start in right field. Because that's the key. You got to get one. You got to start in the corners, and then you slowly. Once people recognize it, you know, they do it.
You know, it was amazing to me. The one thing that you did not get the opportunity to do down here, but you tried real hard. So he's all over Chaim Bloom, and he's saying, "I can go out there and take grounders.
You gotta get me
I can
the
do
field.
This." And he's such a nice guy. I am sitting there going, it's not my job. Wait. We're sitting there going, excuse me.
But I'll put
didn't
a good word in.
Didn't they bring you in to run all this? He said, I'll put a good word in.
Yeah.
He did not put a good word in.
Well, what threw him off was when you actually asked if you could coach third for a game.
You did.
Yeah, I know.
Like that, you know.
I know.
Ball girl's one thing. Ball right. boy, whatever you want to call yourself.
What do you think Dabrowski would have said to you? F no.
No, Dabrowski was like, nice. Well,
and then his answer would be like 10 minutes long. Like, whoa.
He was so nice about it. Chaim Bloom said, they go, well, I'll pass it along to people and we'll see if we can do it. Meanwhile, he had no intention of doing
anything.
Here's another one from staff members. On the third strike, Christian, when can the runner advance to first base?
On the third. What do you mean on a third strike?
Oh, on a third strike,
okay.
When can the
He's
runner
out.
Advance to
He's
first
out.
Base?
That's all from Doug. It's just stupid Doug questions.
No, it's a legitimate question.
On the
for
third
the Red
strike,
Sox.
When That's can he? What, if, so on if, the third, yeah. so he strikes out.
If the ball's dropped,
is he striked out?
How about when the ball's dropped?
Okay, well then he throws the it to first. And he's out.
When can he do that?
What do you mean? When can he do what?
If the catcher drops a third strike, when is it okay for
right
that
away.
Guy to try to go to first?
Right away.
What if
right away?
What if there's a runner on first?
Well, then that guy has to go to second.
Oh, my God.
Who's on first? What's on second? I don't
this
know who's
is gonna
on
be
first.
Hey, Shannon, I'm going to bad you. Joe Castiglione. It's going to destroy this property of his.
Let me give you one.
Give me another one.
So the hitter.
Wait, so far I got everyone right.
So the hitter swings. The hitter swings at a slider down and in.
Hold on. Wait. What is it? What matter does it?
Okay.
What
matter? The hitter. What if he
swings and misses on a fastball?
Right. Okay. The hitter swings and misses at a pitch.
Okay.
But it hits him. Now what?
Wait. Does it hit him first?
No. He swings and it hits him.
It hits him where?
Hits him in the shoulder.
Well, he gets to take a base.
No, because it's swing. Strike three. You swung through.
I would say.
Doesn't matter if you
I would go to the replay booth. That one.
Christian.
You're on the baseball team.
I don't know what you guys are doing tomorrow, but around 1 o'clock, tune in.
This is going to be a disaster. You're better off just getting the seniors here's to the, do here's the wave. The, here's the, just let them do the wave.
The rules, there's way too many stupid rules in baseball.
A lot of stupid rules.
Way too many stupid rules in baseball.
This should be good.
Well, why do they call it the foul pole when it really is a fair ball?
I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
Who's on first? That's a good question. I don't know who's on third.
Because if I was going back and doing it and redoing the rules, that would be a rule I would change. You're telling me
you
I see the ball. It doesn't matter.
I thought you were onto it because you already swung.
I almost did. But technically, the ball hit me, so I get the. How about does tag still go to the runner? Does a
no, it goes to the replay room.
You say tag goes to the runner?
Tie, you mean?
Tie. Does tie still go to the runner?
All right, here's a question.
I can't wait for tomorrow.
The head of concessions here. What is a golden sombrero?
Easy now.
A golden sombrero. Hold on. This is the real meal. This is the real snack.
Just tell him.
The real snack.
It's not an In-N-Out burger.
You're going to spend time
a golden sombrero.
Going through the concessions.
Well, okay, here's what a golden sombrero
Nobody
is.
Nobody will have time for
a
that
A golden
tomorrow.
Sombrero is a... Is a sombrero, which means hat in Spanish.
Yep.
Okay. And it has cheese on the inside.
Okay.
And it's golden. And it flows over. And
thanks,
you use
Johnny
the sombrero
Holmes.
To actually dip your food, your chip, into the middle of it.
No.
That's not how it is?
No.
I don't think
it's out
a sombrero.
Too loud. We call them loud
and
out.
And golden sombrero.
Hey, I can tell you what. This is the type
Strike
of entertainment you're going to get.
Strike out five times.
This is why we are doing this. Listen, do not send this tape to Hyam.
No,
See, I'm actually worried because I'm usually covered by Joe. That's like, well, of course, the rule on that play is.
No. The bigger question is this one. Like, so you're like, you actually think Glenn is going to be able to do this?
Yeah,
like,
I'll be fine.
Okay, give me like, how are you going to start? Hi, welcome. Are you going to do your own voice? Are you going to do your voice? Because we heard him doing something.
Do we have an
open? I'm going to do it. 29-28.
That's that song. Yeah.
Give me. I'm curious to know if your home run call is going to be.
Well, you'll have to wait and see.
I'm curious to what yours is going
to
be.
I hope I get to. I get.
Where's your going
to
be?
Do we have a delay? Are we on delay?
No.
We're not on delay. Oh, my God.
So the eighth inning.
Doug, we need to make sure Doug has a mute button or a dump
mute
button.
Mute button's right. Not going to help you. He's not that fast. Look at him. He's not that fast.
I got
to
go.
Okay, so, it's time so, to go. Right, he's got to go.
He's got to go.
I'll see you tomorrow. Game starts at what time?
1 o'clock. When are you going to be here?
12:50.
God, we're screwed tomorrow. That's all I can tell you. Last call. We got it coming up next.
Ordway, Berloni, and Fourier.
Live from Red Sox spring training in Fort Myers, Florida.
Is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewards.
Screwball peanut butter whiskey.
And Howe's Lubricator. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting
no,
you go.
Good.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Let's go, Nuts!
Would you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule free pickup, 877-CARS-4-KIDS or at carsforkids.org. Our friends, the camera guys, Moose and Glenn, over at NBC Sports Boston, put together a great little bit. Angry Lou is not an act for years. Nomar Garcia-Pera has taken the heat for the red line in the clubhouse, and so they present Lou's Hollywood Story. You'll hear from Steve Buckley, John Tomasi, me, Christian, two waitresses from Twin Peak, and David Ortiz.
So, Buck,
I'll tell you a funny story. The first time I ever saw Nomar, he walks in, he says to me, anybody know where I can get a piece of pie and some vanilla ice cream? I mean, he was as pure as the driven snow.
Yep.
And I remember Pesky comes up and says, I know a place in Swampscott, I'll take you up there. And then Lou shows up and everything changed.
Really?
It was really sad.
Really?
Yeah.
It was Lou.
Yeah. That's for you to say. Yeah.
So Lou is the bad guy?
Here's the thing. You start off as a young reporter, and the old-timers, the Shaughnessys, the Bob Ryans, the Peter Gammons, they all warn me, steer clear of Framingham Lou. And so I get in the clubhouse, and the first thing I see is the red line, and it's like, that is Lou's red line. You do not cross that line. And poor Nomar, he's had to wear that.
So I work with Lou now, and I come in one day, and he's pissed off at a take that I had.
Angry Lou.
Stupid sports take. What's a stupid sports take? Next thing I know, out of the back pocket, he takes out a roll of red tape, puts down the mark, and says, don't you cross it. I mean, let's face it. Nomar, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Wow.
Lou's an
because I remember getting off a plane, hopping in a car, and I was asking the guy where I should go, what I should do. And the guy was telling me, and this is like 02 or something like that, years ago, he said, well, first of all, nothing happens without you talking to the mayor. And I said, well, who is this mayor guy? And he said, he's an Italian guy. He's a big
that doesn't have a big
he's a
right.
And I was
right.
like, wow, what's his name? Marloni. I was like, oh, okay, no big deal. I'm not a big baseball fan anyway, so do I care? I slap him around. Turns out this guy's running the show in Boston and especially in Providence. So nothing got by without talking to Lou Marloni, who ended up being the just a colossal.
Have you heard about this guy, Lou, that was doing the radio here?
You mean Lou, the one who came in last night and stood on top of the bar with his shirt off swinging it around?
Yeah.
We had to call managers to get him down and everything. That was ridiculous.
My mom said he used to get after all the time. I never personally met him, but I guess he's been around town, if you know what I mean.
So, Davey, tell us about Lou Marloni, your memories of Lou Marloni.
Because we always hear he's just an awesome guy. Is that true?
He's a
David Ortiz treating Lou worse than goes. Mike Fiers right there.
Yeah, yeah. You like a snitch.
They all like a snitch.
You're just chillaxing, relaxing.
We've tweeted it out so you can get it. The camera
my
guys,
mom said
he
used
them.
To get after all the time.
I love the fact that the mom's telling stories. Yeah, that's how old Lou is.
And you made him a mob guy. You took like the Italian Lou and just
he's
made
in Providence.
Mob guy.
He worked
We're
at those. He
Mayo's.
Worked at those
You're
restaurants.
Mob guy. You're a mob guy. All right, big fella, get a good night's sleep tonight because we're expecting an awful lot from you. See, you got the toughest assignment of them all.
I do
because you have to work the entire park.
I don't know how
the
I always
park.
Get this.
Huh?
I'm a crowd favorite though.
Karen Austin's here. Why don't you
hey,
ask her some tips?
Can I, you know how the San Diego Chicken used to go up on top of the dugout?
Yes, do
and
that.
Dance. Do you think they'd be okay? What if I led
Fine.
The Macarena
Fine.
On top of the Boston
Perfect.
Red Sox?
Seniors are not going to do the Macarena.
Hey, you! Take that ventilator off. Stand up.
1 o'clock tomorrow if you want to listen to our disaster of a Red Sox radio broadcast. 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Have a great weekend, everybody. Goodbye. Mutt at Night is next from Vegas.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.